Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. And this is Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We're glad you've chosen to click in with us today. We're going to talk Ole Miss and Mississippi State for the next half hour or so. Logan, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, Parrish. Just kind of taking everything in. You know, this is the time, you know, school's out now, and it's starting to feel like summer a little bit. You know, just a little bit of baseball to finish up with. And, yeah, you know, I guess we'll have a hot summer ahead. And then, you know, when it starts getting hot, that means it's football time, because no time of the year seems hotter than those training camp days and fall camp.
Yeah, and that's coming up, man. It'll be here before you know it. And, of course, this is a different kind of summer for Ole Miss in the sense that fans will be watching the calendar a little bit, some important NCAA investigation dates coming up. One of those at the end of this month, around about the 23rd, May 23rd, Ole Miss will reach the end of its time. That will be its deadline to respond to the NCAA's allegations. And so I would expect late May, maybe early June, Ole Miss will go public with its response, how it has responded to the NCAA. At that point, the NCAA has 60 days to respond to Ole Miss's response. Basically, it has 60 days, so you're looking at the end of July for the NCAA to tell Ole Miss what it believes about that response. And after that, eventually you wind your way to a hearing before the Committee on Infractions. But Ole Miss will meet, Hugh Freeze will reach media days in Hoover with the Rebels having responded to the NCAA, but not yet having heard back from the NCAA. So that should make for lots of questions and speculation there for Hugh Freeze at Media Days. All that's coming up this summer. We have more to talk about in the program today, folks. Before we get there, I want to remind you about a couple of other podcasts to be on the lookout for, productions of the Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast, All Things Northeast Mississippi with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. That's coming to you every Wednesday and Friday. And then Prep Rally, everything high school sports. A little bit of change there, Logan. Gene Phelps is still around for a little while. Blake Morgan, he'll be leaving us soon to pursue an opportunity in Knoxville with SEC Country. He'll be doing a little bit of Tennessee and some recruiting and other things there. So Prep Rally and high school sports in the Journal will take on a different look there, but it will be there, and it will be full and complete coverage. Be sure to check out Prep Rally every Wednesday for your high school sports needs. Busy time of year for those guys right now with the softball and baseball state tournaments here and getting close. So lots of stuff going on there in the high school area as well. Talking Ole Miss and Mississippi State, Logan, before we get into baseball, some interesting news out of Ole Miss last week when it was reported that Andy Kennedy's contract has not been extended. Ole Miss basketball coach Andy Kennedy will begin his 12th season at Ole Miss in the fall. The state allows coaches and all employees a maximum of 4 years on a contract. And usually it's just kind of commonplace that if the administration is pleased with the direction of the program and likes what it's seeing, that contract is just kind of rolled over and brings the coach back up to the maximum 4 years. And that's important because it's a vote of confidence, and we like what you're doing. But it also tells recruits that, hey, this guy's going to be here, and, you know, and this is the direction of the program right now, and we like what we see. So when you don't have that extension, Andy Kennedy is still under contract, and the contract now is for 3 years at about $1.9 million, a little bit more. So he's there for 3 years instead of four, and it just raises the question. And it certainly is Ross Bjork making a statement, Ole Miss Vice Chancellor for Athletics. And that statement is he wants to see basketball back in the NCAA tournament and wants to see them there on a more regular basis. Andy Kennedy, I had no comment on the contract situation, but you know, the bottom line here is Ross Bjork has made a statement about Ole Miss basketball by not extending Kennedy's contract to the maximum 4 years. Andy Kennedy has his best recruiting class coming in, and he will have a chance to make a statement as well with this class of recruits. This is his highest class. It's ranked number 18 by 247 Sports, and of course, it's, you know, it's got some key transfers in there. Usually, you know, Kennedy's class does, and one of those is Markel Crawford, a graduate transfer from Memphis who becomes eligible right away, an athletic 6'5" swing player at the two or the three, probably the two. You know, that caused Cullen Neal to transfer. So a lot of excitement about Crawford coming in for Ole Miss. And then there's also a lot of expectation for Bruce Stevens, the JUCO transfer out of Jones. And this is a guy that, that they believe will stretch the floor, will come in at that four position that was such a struggle for Ole Miss last year, such a struggle to get points, you know, out of that position, whether that was Eustace Fromanovicius or Markandus Hyman. And Stevens is a guy that Kennedy believes will come in immediately and provide offensive help. He can score with his back to the basket. He can score out on the perimeter. Let me say, he has scored at previous levels both ways. You know, anytime you bring in a big-name recruit, look, recruiting is an inexact science, and there's always that period of acclimation, that period of transition. There was even that period with Stephon Moody when he came from junior college as well. I can remember, you know, all of the preseason and excitement, the preseason excitement and the hype for Stephon Moody, and then Moody struggles in the first half dozen games or so of his Ole Miss career, maybe you know, 8 or 9 games, and I can remember, you know, Kennedy yelling at him during games in November and just encouraging him. And finally, the light went on for Stephon Moody, and in his 2 years there, he became one of the best players in Ole Miss history. So you talk about those guys coming in as transfers, and you haven't even gotten yet to the freshmen in this class, to guys ranked in the top 100 by Scout.com in Jamarco Pickett and Devontae Shuler, and just a deep class for Kennedy to add to some young talent that's returning. Ole Miss is going to lose Sebastian Saiz, an outstanding post player, a very good rebounder. They're going to miss Saiz next year, but they return some really exciting perimeter players in Terrence Davis and Brian Tyree. So, Ross Bjork has made a statement. Andy Kennedy has a chance to make a statement next year, and we'll see. We always knew that the pavilion at Ole Miss, when the arena finally opened, that it would be a recruiting advantage. I know that that Kennedy got tired of hearing that question for so many years. For so many years, the arena at Ole Miss was just an abstract. You know, it was just an idea that was out there. Ole Miss fans probably hoped they would live to see it. Now it's there. It is, I'm assuming, the nicest facility in the country. I can't imagine one that's nicer on a campus. But now it's there, and look, recruits take notice, and Kennedy's got a good class coming in, so we'll see what he can do with that next year. Logan, any off-season basketball news coming out of Mississippi State?
Well, you know, obviously the Garrison Brooks thing was a big deal. I mean, obviously it wasn't a off-season per se because school was still in when all that, you know, debacle was going on. But obviously Garrison Brooks, the son of George Brooks, the Mississippi State assistant coach, signed with Mississippi State back in the fall. He was a 4-star forward out of Auburn, Alabama, and changed his mind, asked for his release, and ended up transferring because he never actually arrived at Mississippi State, but asked for his release and ended up signing with North Carolina. And that was one of those deals where there was a divorce. George and Garrison's mother had divorced years ago, and I think there was some bad blood between the two, and a lot of drama, and Mississippi State kind of washed its hands of that and kind of moved on and parted ways, and a mutual hey, you know, wish you the best and moving on. So, but Mississippi State's got a couple of, you know, guys that are going to be in this class coming in. And obviously the five-star point guard, Nick Weatherspoon, the younger brother of Quindary Weatherspoon, is one of the best players in the country. I mean, he had offers from everywhere. And he's going to give Mississippi State immediate talent at that point guard position. Obviously, they're only losing one player, IJ Reddy. You know, and he brought that senior leadership. He was the only upperclassman on Mississippi State's team last year. So, going to get an upgrade with Nick Weatherspoon coming in, highly talented player. And then also Keyshawn Fizell. He's a three-star power forward, 6'9", out of Lawrence County down there in Monticello. And, you know, they signed the number one and the number two players in the state this year. So that's kind of been a common theme. But, you know, Mississippi State was so young last year. In fact, they were the youngest team in the country. So they've got all that talent that they had last year as freshmen coming in, you know, in year two as sophomores. And obviously the biggest jump that you see in a player's career is between that first and second year. And so Mississippi State is going to have a lot of those guys back, and a lot of them should take major jumps in that regard. Quindary Weatherspoon's had surgery on his wrist. He's going to be out for a few months. Same thing with EJ Datcher. He's had some surgery. He's going to be out for a few months as well. But it also seems like they're getting another player in Abdullah Dew. He's a guy that got to Mississippi State last summer, but there was some issues with his transcripts from back home. He's one of those foreign players, and you know, there were some issues with the transcript, and NCAA said he was ineligible for the first year, even though he had the highest grade point average on the entire team. It was an academic issue with Abdul, but it's going to be a huge upgrade for them because they really missed him. He's 6'11", 246 pounds, and he's just really a force at that five spot down low that they didn't have last year. They just kind of kept rotating in Schneider Harrod and Eric Holman. And Eric Holman, you know, is more of a four player. He's 6'10", 222, kind of long and lean. So they really needed that size that Abdullah Abdu brings. And you know, mixing in Abdu and Harrod down low is going to give Mississippi State some mass down there in the post, you know. And I think this is really going to help them. It's going to be like getting a new player in with Abdul, who's, you know, had a year to practice with Mississippi State and a year in their strength and conditioning program. So I think Mississippi State's going to take a jump next year. If you follow Ben Howland's career, it's been in year three that he's taken all these teams to the postseason. So he's done it at Northern Arizona, Pitt, UCLA. So he's about to start year number three. He's obviously had a huge amount of turnover during his time at Mississippi State just in those first 2 years. I mean, going into year three, he's going to have zero players that played for Rick Ray. It doesn't seem like that long ago that Rick Ray was at Mississippi State, but none of these players played for Rick Ray. And only one of them, I think, yeah, Quindary Weatherspoon was the only player, I believe, to sign with Rick Ray. So he's completely overhauled the roster and kind of revamped it in his style, and it's got his fingerprint all over it. So we'll see how they do next season.
Shifting gears a little bit to SEC softball, the SEC tournament going on right now in Knoxville, and number 8 Ole Miss will take on number 1 seed Florida at 1:30. So coming up quickly this afternoon, the Rebels advanced with a 2-1 win over Mississippi State on Wednesday, and Ole Miss really has put together a nice season. They were a surprise team last year when they won 41 games and finished second in the regional at Oklahoma. The Sooners going on to win the national championship. So kind of a feel-good story last year, but Ole Miss softball has shown that it's more than a one-hit wonder and has replaced some key positions with some turnover at pitcher that they knew they were going to have and some turnover at shortstop that they didn't know, but they have put the pieces together and are 37-18 going into today's game against Florida. A lot of people feel like if they are able to upset the Gators, which that's a big deal, that there's a lot of distance between those two programs right now in terms of depth and depth a lot of places, but especially pitching. But if Ole Miss can pull off a win today, a lot of people believe they will host a regional in Oxford. Shifting gears, baseball, Logan, the Rebels are at home against A&M, and Mississippi State is where?
They're going to Georgia, be their second weekend in the row on the road, and obviously they picked up a huge series win last weekend at Texas A&M, and things didn't look too well for Mississippi State to start that series. They started it on a Thursday night and lost the opener 9-2 with their only surefire starter on the mound. Connor Pilkington didn't have a good outing that day, and they didn't even announce a starter for the next 2 days. Didn't know who they were going to throw in those next 2 days, and they get a solid outing out of Denver McCrary, the freshman from Houston, Mississippi. Gave them a good outing on that Friday. Mississippi State goes into that game and wins 5-1. And then on Saturday, to close out the series, Jacob Billingsley, they pieced things together with what's left of their bullpen during that last day, and ended up squeaking out a 4-3 win. Texas A&M was in control of that game and really was mowing Mississippi State down. Mississippi State had a lot of strikeouts in that final game and kind of just held things together, kept things within striking distance, and then they picked up a couple of big hits late in the game when they finally got to their starter, got his pitch count up, and got in the bullpen a little bit and finally made some noise late in that ball game. Came back and won 5-3, and that's kind of been Mississippi State's MO here of late. I mean, they're a comeback team. I think they've had 21. I think it's 21 wins this year. Parrish have been in comeback fashion. 21 out of their 32 wins have all been comeback wins, and I don't know how they're doing it. I mean, I really don't. I mean, this team doesn't make a whole lot of sense. On paper, with all the injuries, all the players that they lost last year, the coaching changes, Mississippi State, they shouldn't be where they're at right now. They're actually a game better in conference play than what they were a year ago when they won the SEC outright. I mean, it's amazing the job that Andy Cannizzaro has done with what he has to work with. And here going in, 2 weeks left in the season, Parrish, and Mississippi State's tied for first place in the league overall with Florida. And, obviously there's still a lot of baseball still left to be played. Six conference games, one non-conference game left for Mississippi State. But they play at Georgia this weekend. Georgia's kind of getting hot here of late. They won they took 2 of 3 from Kentucky at Kentucky last weekend and also beat Georgia Tech during the midweek. So Georgia's kind of catching fire a little bit here. They hadn't made a whole lot of noise throughout the season, but they're getting hot at the right time, and obviously this is the time that you want to try to do that. And then Mississippi State finishes up the SEC schedule, finishes up the regular season at home next weekend against LSU, another team that's kind of come on here of late and kind of nipping at Mississippi State's heels as far as the SEC West race goes. So Mississippi State's still got some work to do if they want to win another championship this year. But, right now Mississippi State's sitting pretty as far as postseason play goes. I mean, they're 32-17 overall, 16-8 in the conference, and 12 in the RPI. So they're ranked 7th overall by D1Baseball.com. And D1 Baseball has Mississippi State as a host site. And I think they're kind of a series away of probably becoming a national seed. I mean, I think Mississippi State's still in the conversation to do that. It's something that they did a year ago, and they're, like I mentioned earlier, they're one game better than they were a year ago as far as conference play. So it's amazing what they've done. I mean, it makes no sense, but they've been a fun team to cover. You can't count them out of anything.
Well, speaking of teams that have come on, Florida certainly has come on, and that was a disappointing fact for Ole Miss last week as they were swept in Gainesville. And you talk about the games Mississippi State has come back to win and the close games they've played. And I look back at a couple of series and some games along the way where Ole Miss was not able to close or was not able to make the plays at the end to win the game. Two of those were in the Mississippi State series. I look back at a game, the game 3 at LSU, and basically it all adds up right now to 11 SEC wins for Ole Miss. And really, this is not written down anywhere. It's not like in anybody's rule book, but you really need 15 conference wins to kind of feel good about your NCAA tournament chances. It's possible you could get in with 14 regular season wins. Maybe a little more emphasis for you on the SEC tournament there. But to feel good about an NCAA tournament berth, really 15 is kind of the number. So with six games left, Ole Miss needs to win four times to get to 15 conference wins. So that means, look, you got to win both series, or you got to sweep somebody. You got Texas A&M at home this weekend. The Aggies replaced Ole Miss this week as the number one pitching team in the conference with a 3.03 ERA. Ole Miss's ERA spiked a little bit at Florida. The Rebels now second among SEC teams in pitching with a 3.35 ERA. So a tough task ahead for Ole Miss. They have A&M, and then they go to Auburn. Auburn until last week looked like one of the hottest teams in the conference, and that will still be a very difficult series for Ole Miss at Auburn. But the Tigers at least looked vulnerable in being swept by last place Alabama in Tuscaloosa last week. So, look, no matter how you break it down, Ole Miss has got to get better pitching from its bullpen, which is looking a little bit tired right now with Dallas Wolfolk being called on and throwing as many innings as he has been lately. And they're going to have to hit. They're hitting .253 as a team. That's not very good. It's not about what you're hitting right now for the season. You know, what can you hit in six games? So we'll see if Ole Miss can push the right buttons and get the right play and get to 15 wins. On a health note, they got really some mixed news this week. Ryan Olenek, starting center fielder, who missed the Florida series going through concussion protocol after a collision with shortstop Gray Kessinger in the May 3rd game against Louisiana Monroe. That caused Olenek to miss the Florida series, and so the Rebels were without a .261 hitter, which is, you know, not outstanding, but he does so many other things, a great defensive player in the outfield, and just does a lot of things on the bases, and you know, really kind of a spark plug. So they're excited to have Olenek back, but they may not have Colby Bortles, and that's not a good trade. Bortles is the big bat in that lineup, leads the team in home runs and RBIs. So something to be aware of for Ole Miss this weekend as they take on Texas A&M. The Rebels, again, with some work to do to get to 15 wins and kind of play their way into the NCAA tournament. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast. That's coming to you every Wednesday and Friday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. And be sure to check out Prep Rally on Wednesdays for all things high school sports. Logan and I will be back here with you next Thursday or Friday with another edition of Double Coverage.